You see, poets and writers have something important in common in that we have to ask a lot of questions. That's the only way you're going to get lots of good details for your writing. Got to ask questions. So I asked her questions, and out of her responses, I made this point. I took a wrong turn around the bases. I got hit in the face with a ball. I whacked my shin with a bat. But what I remember most of all was not stepping up to home plate with my kinder shortstop body, but panic grabbing me by the throat when I got stuck in the porta potty. I'll explain that later too. T-ball teaches about coordination, sportsmanship, and more. I learned how to hold my fear and my nose while jiggling that door. My eyes would start to water as I began to scream and shout. I'd throw myself against the door and yell in triumph, yippee, I'm out. If I not know what the phrase porta potty is, you know, it's a portable toilet that they move from place to place like that. So if you have a big sporting event, they have little portable toilets. And my daughter had gotten caught in the portable toilet and couldn't get the lock to her. So that's why she was afraid of baseball. But instead of writing about all of baseball, I just focused in on one little thing. Now you notice when I tell you my poems, I have them memorized. You guys, do you ever memorize poetry? Have you done that?
We have to.
It's been a few years, probably. All right, I thought we could memorize a poem together. Do you want to do that? They're so enthusiastic. It's a short poem. You got to listen fast. Can you listen fast? Shorter than you think. Are you ready? Shampoo, boo, hoo. That's it. Okay, let's memorize that. I'll do the first word, you do the second word. Ready? Shampoo.
Boo-hoo.
Do the whole thing.
Shampoo, boo-hoo.
Good job. Anybody ever ask you if you can memorize poem poetry, tell them no problem.
Hello. Today we're here with Sarah Holbrook, Sam's visiting author for 2006. Sarah, when you first started writing poetry, what was your inspiration?
Well, clearly, my initial inspiration was my children. I was watching them grow up, and that triggered memories in my mind about what it was like when I was growing up, and I started to write about our experiences and sharing it. Really, they were my first audience also.
Well, what happened to your relationship with your daughters when you started writing and sharing your poetry with them?
Well, I think, can I tell you a story?
Sure,
yeah.
Love stories.
Well, one time we had this little girl over at the house, and she was the most popular girl in the third grade, and our dog bit her. And my daughter did not want to go to school the next day because she figured that her life was ruined because our dog bit the most popular girl in the third grade. And I sat down that night and I wrote a poem, Spunk Bit Christine, because at the same time we had Toby the biting dog, it was a small window, we also had a gerbil named Spunky. And I turned that dog bite into a gerbil bite. And I think in sort of a metaphorical sense, that's what I was trying to do for my kids over the years, is turn the dog bites into gerbil bites. So I think that has strengthened our relationship. It's like we have this common language now. We speak to each other sometimes in little lines from the poems, like a secret joke that we have. And it's a way of us remembering our family stories, I guess.
So is that why you decided to become a poet as your career instead of being a reporter as you originally planned?
Well, I was working in the corporate world. Reporters tend to go one of two ways. They either work in newspapers or they work for corporations that feed the stories to the newspapers. And I worked on the corporate side. And my poetry started to sell. And I looked at it and I thought, well, if I really give it a shot, perhaps I could make a living off of my artwork. So I took that leap in 1993, and that's when I quit my last corporate job. And I have had such a rewarding career. I don't regret that at all. There's never been a moment when I said, gee, I wish I were back to writing corporate newsletters.
Well, so was your entire family supportive of you becoming a full-time poet instead of writing speeches, newsletters, and brochures for big companies?
It was a little bit of a scary time because when I quit, my oldest daughter was in college and my youngest daughter was a junior in high school. And I remember going to parent night at the high school, and Kelly's chemistry teacher said to me, "I understand you write some," or I said to your daughter that your mom writes humorous poems. She has a good sense of humor. And Kelly apparently said to her teacher, "No kidding, she just quit her job." My children have been remarkably supportive. They've done everything from sharpen my pencils for me, help me tote books, prop me up when things weren't going so well. I would not be where I am today without the support of my kids. They've been wonderful. It's like a family business, really.
If a student here in the middle school, a SAM student, was going to read only one of your poems, which one would you recommend, and why would this be the best poem to read?
Wow, that's a hard one. I think probably one poem that comes to mind is out of Nothing's the End of the World, and the poem is I'm Not So Bad. When I first started out, I called my poems Kid Poems for the Not So Bad. Because I figure that I write for kids who are like I am, kids who are not perfect, but they're not so bad. And I have to go back and remind myself of that all the time, because sometimes I get down on myself and I think, oh, I'm not as smart as this person, or my career's not going as well as that person, and I feel insecure. And what I have to remind myself is, yeah, but I'm not so bad. And so I think if I had one thing to share with kids, it's that. To try whatever it is. Somebody asked me about the poem Testing New Waters, and I think that that has been a big issue in my poetry, too, is taking risk, not being afraid to take a risk, a measured risk. Nobody's supposed to stand in front of a train. You know, that's a stupid risk. But taking risk in our lives and having the confidence to say, it may not all turn out exactly perfect, but I'm not so bad.
Yes, that's one of our goals at SAMS that we've come up with, is to take academic risks. Yeah. Well, your poetry is fresh and exciting, but have you ever thought about writing novels?
Actually, I just finished a novel. It's being evaluated right now, so I haven't sold it yet. The working title, and I say that because it's always the marketing department at a publisher that establishes the name of the title. But right now, my working title is Borderline, and it is set in Tucson, Arizona. And the theme of the book is illegal immigration from Mexico into the U.S. And it has a couple of teenagers who are caught up in the humanitarian efforts. There are people who work on the border that don't take sides one way or the other, but they try to offer food and water to the people who are crossing over so they don't die in the desert. 400 people died crossing around Tucson last summer. So it's quite an issue, and I understand that my immigration is and movement within China is an issue here also. So even though it is placed it there, I know that the whole idea of migration is a theme around the world.
Do you plan on having this book being at a young adult, middle school level, or is it younger or older?
I would say it's a young adult book, and probably I would think sixth grade and up, I would say, yeah.
Oh, we'll look forward to it.
Keeping my fingers crossed.
Well, are you writing any books of poetry right now, and if so, what are they about?
I have two books in process. One is a book for teens, and the working title on that one is called Could It Happen Here? And in that book, I've taken a few poems out of my adult books and pulled those in. I've also have poems about, I guess, things that you could say that are scary in the world and could it happen here, and how we go on knowing that the world is sometimes a scary place. And so that's one book. And another book that I'm working on that's I'm having a lot of fun with, I'm writing with another poet in the U.S. by the name of Alan Wolfe. And it's kind of a he said, she said sort of thing. It's boy and girl love poems, sonnets, villanelles. We're doing them in form. So we're writing these poems back and forth to each other. Some of them are love poems and some of them are, well, they're relationship poems. So the good, the bad, and the ugly.
So next fall, check out your library and see what new Sarah Holbrook books we have. There might be a novel, might be another poetry book.
Oh, it takes longer than that, though. If I get that novel accepted tomorrow, let's say, it probably would not come out until 2008.
Well, that kind of leads us to our next question. How long does it take you to finish writing a poetry book? From the idea of writing a book to the time you're holding it in your hand, what would you say is the average length of time for you?
Well, I'm writing poetry all the time, and then when they put a poetry book together, it's a little bit different than a novel because it's like putting together a bouquet. So what the editor does is help you choose a good bouquet. So I will submit perhaps 60 poems for a 40-poem book, and the editor helps me choose what best fits the theme. I may have been writing those poems over a long period of time. It'll probably take us about 6 months to finally group them together. And the poetry book that I've been writing with the other author that we're writing the love poems, we've been working on since last May. We are not done. We have sent, I think at this point, he's sent in the proposal to the publisher. And then once they get that done, we'll be working very quickly to finish it. I just finished a book in January with Michael Salinger, the poet who's at the high school. This is a book for teachers, and it's a different kind of writing. That book is on a very fast track. We just finished it. When I get back to the States, there will be page proofs there for me to go through. That book will be out in August, so that's a very quick turnaround.
Well, we'll be looking for your books this year and next year then. Okay. Well, what do you like best then, writing poetry or novels and working on your writing or working with students and teachers?
Oh, I feel very lucky in my life because I think what keeps my work alive is the variety. I think if I only did one thing, if all I did was speak, for instance, to elementary school children, I would get stale. Or if all I did was speak to middle school children. Or if all I did was sit in my office and had no contact with real kids, that would be very, very bad. So all of these things feed one another. I also, an important component here is talking to teachers and librarians, because teachers and librarians are the people who put books in kids' hands. So it's important for me to have contact with them so that I know what their needs are also. So there are many people in the pie there.
Okay. Well, before we finish then today, some of your poetry deals with students and how they deal with problems and different ideas about how to deal with stress. How do you deal with stress and problems in your own life?
Well, when I get stressed out and I find myself doing things like snapping at people at the grocery store or something, generally what that means is I haven't written for a while. Because sometimes I write and I don't even know what's stressing me out, but I'll just be writing about anything, the weather, and it starts to bubble up off the page and I start to see what it is that's bothering me. For me, the way I reflect in the world is through my writing. Some of it comes out in poetry that then gets published, and others is just my reflections. A week before I came here, I was in South Carolina at a reading meeting, and someone was speaking from a podium, and I found myself in the audience. I didn't have a piece of paper or a pencil, and I about had a nervous breakdown. I had to start asking strangers until I had paper and pencil in my hand, because that's the way I reflect, and that's the way I learn is through writing, and it's the way I learn about the world and the way I learn about myself. So you'll be glad to know I did not have a breakdown, and I did borrow paper and pencil.
Well, Sarah, thanks for taking some time to talk to us today, and thank you so much for coming all the way to China to be our visiting author at SAMS for 2006. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you. This has been a remarkable thing for me. Truly, I sat down 20 years ago at my kitchen table, started writing poetry for my kids, and for me to come over here and see other people reading it and post it up on the walls, thank you so much for doing such a good job preparing the kids. And I have had a wonderful time here in Shanghai. Very memorable and absolute delight. Thank you.
Thank you, Sarah.